You're starting to play while I'm singing? That's
I didn't know
rude.
What you were singing, and I thought you would stop.
Thanks.
I waited for you, and then you didn't stop, and then I got impatient.
Okay. Well, thanks.
No. What the hell was that?
I gave you the finger gun.
I can't see the second one, so it's just like you pointed at me. The other gun is hidden behind your computer.
I want to make a clever, like, gun joke or something with regards to that, but I got nothing.
Now I'm, like, gun. Neither, you better not use this one of all things of, like, us just being like, oh, we can't make any jokes.
This is how we're starting our...
No, this is episode 42, motherfucker.
And we're starting it with just, like, we suck.
Yeah, at this point, we should be calling ourselves professionals. We are professionals. We are...
We are farmers. Bop, ba, da, ba, da, ba, ba.
Is that an insurance commercial? I was like, what game? No, that's not a game. Hey, it's insurance.
Yep, I just went there. That reminds me, I have insurance stuff I need to take care of. Sorry.
Real life. Wow.
Man, we're just getting it. We're so exciting. This is prime cold open material right here. You want to discuss my insurance policy and all that good stuff?
I mean, well, again, I'm just like, every part of my brain is like, yes. And then every part of my actual, like, gamer show brain is like, no, this would not make for good podcasting.
Okay, well, I think we should listen to your gamer brain.
My gamer brain? Oh, my over this year developed gamer brain?
Your burgeoning gamer brain. Is that a word? Burgeoning?
Yeah, I guess.
Did I use that right?
I think that means like growing or like
I think developing. So. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like I used it right. All right, now we're going to get into this burgeoning podcast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Like that. Yeah.
Now we sound like fucking pros. Let's do this.
It's a gamer. Da-da. We're here. It's a gamer. Da-da. That's it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with
Harvey Z in the place to be.
And guess what? This is our 1 year anniversary.
It's not our 52nd episode.
I mean, 42nd isn't bad.
That's not bad at all.
And we had a couple, like, bonus episodes in there as well, so it's not like we're completely terrible or off the mark. We had a short break. We had a week or two in there that we missed, but, like, in general, 42 out of 52 ain't bad.
I mean, I didn't think we would last, like, 10 episodes.
Wow. No faith. No faith at all.
It was rough in the early days.
Yeah. So... as is custom, we've got to start this episode with a Harvey Z Snaps. It's got to be, we got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some other stuff to get into as well. We're not going to like make too big a deal of the 1 year anniversary. We want to save that for like 50 and 100. Like that'll be more. Wait, the
50? Now do we even celebrate the 50? That's like.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. 50 feels like a big number too. I don't know if we're going to celebrate.
42 is a good like. It's a nerd number, which yeah. I guess is for the gamers out there.
Well, maybe we'll celebrate. Maybe we'll keep it till 100. So I wanted to do a special snap that's going to I'm going to see how you feel and what you're going to do.
All right.
So on the one hand, the Switch Lite.
Okay, the new Switch, the tiny Switch that's coming out.
Yep. On the other hand, the Genesis Mini.
Okay, I feel like you've chosen these things
for a reason.
For a reason,
I can't imagine what reason that would be. Why don't you enlighten us, Harvey Z?
So, in lieu of this being the 1 year anniversary of Make Me a Gamer,
yeah,
T-Man, fine, you have succeeded in making me a gamer.
Yeah,
yes.
Woo!
I have recently purchased not just one but two consoles now. I had a while back purchased the Genesis Mini.
Which is coming out this month at some point, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I actually ended up... we talked about it like at the very beginning. You mentioned it existed and like named 10 games. And then I bought it and forgot about it in like the spring. And it's coming out this month.
Yeah, I think it's coming out this month.
I could have sworn it's October, but it might be the next month.
Maybe it's October. You know better than me. You're the one that has it on pre-order.
I had forgotten about it. And I have like this intense like regret... Because I also now recently, we've been debating, and I mentioned it a little bit, I decided to bite the bullet and buy the Switch Lite when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It's portable, it's small, it seems affordable.
And there are a bunch of Switch games you want.
There's a bunch of Switch games that I wanted and want. And so I guess I'm going to get into console gaming, even if it's a handheld console. But now I'm like, I'd forgotten the other system is coming down the road.
And that's 40 Genesis games that...
Yeah. I don't think I even know the full... I remember like 20 we talked about and then maybe 30. Yeah,
I don't know if we ever talked about the full list of 40, but...
But
Vector
now...
Vector Man's on it. Vector Man.
Yes. Toe Jam and Earl is... That's all I needed to know was Toe Jam and Earl was
that's
on
what,
it.
That, you bought it on the strength of Toe Jam and Earl, right?
Basically.
Yeah.
But... And it was like, it's an affordable game price. But now, so going back to your Snap question, if I destroy the system... I don't destroy the games in it. I just destroy the concept of, not the Switch, sorry, the Genesis.
Right. So in this one, it's basically what I'm targeting is you're only going to get one of these.
Okay.
Like, the games are still going to exist and you can still play them, but in both cases, and like a Switch still exists. It's okay. Just the Switch Lite no longer is going to be a thing.
Because like, if you said like, if I destroyed the Genesis like mini... And I destroyed basically the top 40 games of the Genesis. Holy crap, that would be...
Yeah, no, I'm not... Okay. It's not all the games associated with them. It's just the system itself.
I mean, you're basically asking me to do what I'm thinking of doing in real life, which is, do I cancel my pre-order for the Genesis? Because it seems irresponsible to own two gaming systems. And so in the concept of the Snap...
Oh, wait, hold on a second. I've got to address that. You think it's irresponsible to own two gaming systems?
I mean, I'm not judging your lifestyle, man. I know you.
Okay, so I've currently right now got the SNES Classic, a 3DS, a Switch, a PS4, and I guess that's all I currently have in my apartment. But in storage, I've also got 360, Wii U, PS3, PS2, PS1...
Okay.
Nintendo 64, Game Boy, Game Boy Advance.
Old school systems, I mean, I feel like two new or concurrent systems at the same time. It's okay to replace a system, like a PS2 you replace with a 3. That makes sense.
So, but like, you really consider the Genesis Mini to be its own console? Like, I don't really, I own the SNES Classic, but I don't consider that. Like, I own a PS4 and a Switch. Those are the consoles that I own. And the SNES Classic is like this... other thing that I don't know how to describe it.
Have you played your SNES?
Oh, yeah. I've played a bunch of games from it.
So that's where I'm like, am I really going to play anything on this? Am I even going to open up the Sega? Maybe I should just like give it back.
I guess it's up to you and what you think you're going to do with it. Like, if you actually think you're going to use it for like retro fun times, I would get it. But like, if you're getting it just to have it as like a nostalgia piece...
That's where I'm like, do I keep it do I just even keep it in the box, don't even open it, and just display it somewhere? And like, or more likely, it just ends up in the closet. Because that's what I'm worried is going to happen. It's going to end up in the closet.
I mean, you have two outputs on a TV, so you can hook one up to one and one on the other.
Because I feel like if I get it and I hook it up, I'm going to be tempted to play it.
Yes, that is something that follows.
This gets into the irresponsibility of two new systems. I'm a monogamist gamer. I need to like dedicate myself, I feel, to the like Switch. I don't want to cheat on the Switch with the Sega, which is weird.
You know what? You're getting a Switch Lite. Like that, you're not even plugging that into your TV. Like the Genesis can be your
The
TV console, and then you have your handheld. If you want to look at it that way, like a handheld, you've said handhelds aren't real consoles many times.
I have. And the Switch, yes, goes to the TV, but the Switch Lite doesn't.
Right.
So I could use that justification.
Yeah,
sure.
You could. Because one is your TV console and one is your handheld console. And that way you're not cheating. You don't have to go behind the Switch's back to get to the Genesis.
I think they'll understand then. Thank you. Still have to snap one.
You still have to snap one, though. Like, I helped you with your real life decision, but...
I'm going to snap the Genesis.
I figured I wasn't 100%.
Even though the smart decision would be snap the Switch Lite, buy a Switch.
Yeah.
But like in IRL, like what am I actually going to do? Yeah, I'm going to.
You like the Switch Lite. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, there you go. So that is our big 1 year announcement is I've successfully made Harvey Z a gamer.
As opposed to like me just playing a single game over and over, nominating a game of the year from like 2 years ago. Like, I'll have new games to play.
Yeah. We're going to have an actual discussion at the end of this year over what the best game of the year is, maybe. Like, you might have games that aren't Civilization VI that you've played.
Yes. Sadly, yes.
So I want to pull up something here. So earlier, actually yesterday, I texted Harvey Z and asked him if there was anything he wanted to talk about. And so I asked him.
I was going to wonder if you were going to call this out.
Oh, I am totally going to call this out.
I feel like I can defend myself somewhat. I wasn't prepared for you to attack me, though, on air. But I was wondering because you called me out in the text.
Yeah, I did call you out in the text. And so I asked him. Have you thought of anything specific you want to talk about for tomorrow? And I'm going to say three things he said in rapid succession in under like 5 minutes. He said, do you want to do a look back or a look forwards? Maybe what does the future hold?
Seems like a good...
Looking to future games, future episodes.
Yeah.
What's the future holding? Where do you think we'll be in episode 100? So this is, he said this. Three different texts in under 5 minutes.
I was wondering, because go ahead and give your reply.
You suggested what we're going to do in the future as a topic in three different ways now.
So this is where, when I received that text, if we're going to air our dirty laundry and receipts here. So you sent me that text and I was confused. So I was like, I don't think I did.
Uh-huh.
And so I was wondering what the three concepts were. So those are the three different... To me, those were three separate ideas.
It's the same fucking idea.
So, I mean, if you want to read them back, I'll explain. The future is a possibility.
Yeah, I'm not. But
they
I'm
were
not gonna...
three different ideas about the future.
Three different ideas about the future. Okay, well, you know what, Harvey Z? Since you were so excited to suggest talking about the future, where do you think we're going to be in the future? What is your opinion on the future of Make Me a Gamer?
So this one was my time travel concept.
What?
See, this is why you were just like, oh, future. No, like one was literally, the second one, I think it was, the future of gaming. The others were literally the future. Like, if we time traveled into the future, what would we see?
What? No, I refuse to fucking believe that is what you actually
meant.
That
I believe was my third one.
No, I do not believe that. There is absolutely no way. You came up with that shit after I said you asked the same thing three times.
But that's why I was confused, because I was like, yes, I give you all three are about the future, but only one pertained to gaming. The others were different concepts. Like, what do we want to see in the future? And then the third one, which I thought was, yeah, okay.
Did anyone else want to come co-host this with me? I need a new co-host. This is not working. Like, I don't know what's going on
we
here.
We could have time traveled into the future and, like, pretended to pod from the future.
No. I know your brain works weird. But I refuse.
This is why Harvey Z was in the right.
No.
I already got you on the mustard thing.
No. This is
air that
absolutely
laundry.
No. Mm-mm.
The people
refuse
spoke.
This is not a. No.
His face is visibly pained at this point. He didn't expect this at all.
I didn't expect this at all because this is fucking absurd. There is absolutely no way you meant that.
I totally did, because I love absurdity.
No, you didn't say anything at the in the text message. You were stewing on this and ready to produce it at this podcast. That's what I'm going
on. I had three concepts, and then I was like, I didn't really explain them, and you called me out on three things on the same thing, and I was like, no, they're not. Oh, I just didn't explain them to you, but in my brain, I had presented you with three great ideas. That's why I felt a little bit confused, where it was like, wait, he thinks they're all the same. Why would he think that? To be fair, yes, my statements were vague, and perhaps I didn't clarify that one meant time travel, one meant the state of gaming.
Can you imagine, like, what if he was trying to give a presentation somewhere, and like, so we're going to talk about the future, and then doesn't mention time travel? Like, he goes to his boss and says, we're going to talk about the future in this presentation. And then gets up in front of, like, 500 people and starts talking about fucking time travel.
They would fucking love it, because that would be the greatest corporate presentation. I should go to, like, E3 and present shit.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, you know what? this is over with. We're ending the anniversary Game episode
E hire early. Me. I can be your Keanu.
Really?
I think I could do that. I point into the crowd. Give me like a dog or an animal. We don't need a dog. Dogs are played out. I need a different animal. A tiger. Just put a tiger by the stage. And then I just have to like insert catchphrase here. Someone has to react in the audience. For me, we'll need a plant. They'll say something and I'll react like, I love you too or something like that. And then I don't know if I even need to talk about the game. Did he even talk about the game?
Do you realize, I didn't watch it. Like, Keanu has something that you don't.
I beg to differ. Harvey Z.
A successful career in Hollywood?
I don't know if that's what they were cheering him for, though.
Hmm.
I think.
How many people do you think know Harvey Z right now?
Put me into the game. Put me on the big screen. They'll cheer for anything.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. Harvey Z, put him in a game and he thinks he can get an entire E3 crowd to cheer for him.
If you put me on the big screen, don't just put me in a game and like I'm a side character. I need to be the face of the game. Big screen TV.
Keanu isn't the face of the game. He's just a character in the game.
I feel like he was. No, I didn't watch the presentation.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Fucking I know everything and I'm going to talk about fucking time travel.
Okay, but wait, we get to that point. When I drop the time travel bomb, people are going to go, holy shit. What is this guy doing? It's going to go viral.
And yeah, for all the worst ways. Have you seen some of the worst E3 compilations? You don't want to be on those.
I mean, marketing is marketing. No?
No. No. Just ask the guy that demonstrated Wii Music at E3. That hit game, Wii Music.
Okay, I don't
remember
even, I
on heard... the Wii, the one of the most popular systems, yes, of all time. The Wii Music was going to be the next big hit. Because Nintendo was just on fire with everything.
What did he do?
Oh.
Did he play did an something. Instrument?
I'm not even going to go into it. Like, people who listen to this and have watched E3 before know. Like, it's one of the more famous. The Wii Music guy is one of the more famous E3 skits that just, like, bombed completely. Okay, so I was prepared for Harvey Z to at least say something about the future of this podcast, not fucking time travel and all that bullshit that he just went through. Ugh. So instead, I'm just going to move forward because unlike Harvey Z, I actually spent time thinking about the future of the podcast. And I came up, so Harvey Z Snaps has been a thing that we've done. And I've got my game of the week, which I've kind of, it's been up and down in terms of how detailed, and
it's been more consistent recently.
Yeah, it's been consistent, but like I haven't really put thought into it. I kind of just come up with it off the top of my head at the end of the episode. So I came up with two things that we're gonna do today, one of which isn't something I'm sure we can do every week, so it might be like a thing that shows up every now and then when I feel like it. The other one is something we might be able to do every week until I run out of things to do for it, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Then we can retire it.
Yeah, we can retire it. Yeah, sure. So, first idea and sort of game I was going to play. I'm calling it Topic Thunderdome. Bum bum bum. I don't know.
All right.
Two topics enter. One topic leaves.
Thunderdome, Mad Max style.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got 10 index cards here.
Whoa, there's preparation.
Oh, yeah, there's preparation. And so I shuffled them up, and what I put on the index cards were some popular topics that we have discussed over the last year that kind of have come up multiple times, some of our favorite things to talk about.
Okay.
And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to just pick two out, and we're going to go through all 10. So it'll be five total things. and you choose the topic that we'll talk about, and we'll just kind of riff on it for like a minute or two if there's any new news or just some general discussion.
Am I narrowing it down from just two, or like from 10 all the way to one?
So basically, all 10 items here are randomly sorted, and so I don't know what's going to go up against each.
Yeah.
And so you'll eliminate one, and we won't talk about it at all. And the other one will just, if there's something to talk about, we will. And, you know, just kind of riff, reminisce, okay, whatever.
This requires some skill. I'm a little bit worried.
What do you mean?
If hopefully you deleted the intro. The intro was terrible, but our ability to riff on things.
Listen, we've got to hone our abilities to like vamp and riff and like come up with stuff on the fly. Like
we're going to do it on air for these people.
Yeah, we're 1 year. This is what we do.
Okay, all right? We're leveling up.
We're procedurally generated. This is a new room that's on a new level. Like, we've got to get used to it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, come on. Up your game.
Okay. Harvey Z can do that.
Okay. All right, so first topic, Thunderdome. Overwatch League versus XCOM.
Overwatch League versus XCOM.
Now, this isn't a Harvey Z snaps. This is just...
I just get rid of one and we talk about the other.
Yes.
You're giving me the power on this one.
Yeah, I'm giving you the power.
I feel like you would want Overwatch League. I kind of want XCOM.
No, just pick. You get the power.
Thank you. I will take XCOM.
Okay.
Now we're fucked because I haven't done any XCOM in a while. Yeah,
so I was going to ask, have you played any XCOM? Like, have you even beaten War of the Chosen yet?
I have not. Because I got to the last level and now I'm just like, if I play this...
There's like a secret ending after you beat it. There's like extra stuff that's just in the War of the Chosen that you haven't seen yet that I want to talk to you about, but I can't because you won't fucking beat it.
Because I'm like, I don't want to beat it. It's too good. Maybe I could just indefinitely play this game forever.
You're not playing it. You're just stalling for no reason.
It's like when you get to the end of the last chapter of a really good book.
You finish the damn book. So you know what the ending is.
You just cry and you walk away. No, Harvey Z doesn't do that. I mean, nobody's... I read the book. I finish the book. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Note to self. I'll finish XCOM at some point.
Sniff. Toe Jam and Earl versus Overwatch.
Fuck your Overwatches. I mean, Toe Jam and Earl.
They're different things.
Toe Jam and Earl. All
right. So I don't know if I ever told this story, but about in February, I ordered the collector's edition for the Switch version of Toe Jam and Earl, the new one. And I just received it this past week. It's sitting right down there on the floor in front of you if you haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah, I just noticed it.
Yeah. And so it was super delayed. It was supposed to come out in May originally. Like, the game itself came out in March. The collector's edition was supposed to be shipped in May. I didn't get it until this past week because I moved and they sent it to my old address despite me trying to change everything.
Ooh.
So I haven't actually unpacked it yet, but yeah. So I have that now. So now I have Toe Jam and Earl on two systems.
I was going to ask you, actually, like, is it everybody who got delayed or just you specifically?
Everything came out in July. Like, they sent them out in, like, July sometime. So I just now got it because I got an order or I got a email from them being like, yeah, this was returned and we don't know why. And I'm like, it's because you sent it to another fucking address. Then I told you that I was moving, but you wouldn't fucking, like, update my address. And so this is, yeah, you send it to my new address, you assholes.
That was nice of them to at least, like, send it back to you and not just, like, keep it up. Like, oh, I guess you didn't want this.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice that they actually got it to me, and I'm happy about that. But I should have been able to change my address in the first place, and I wasn't. So, yeah.
So entitled.
All right. Harvey Z's Get Rich Quick Schemes versus Board Games.
Harvey Z needs to get rich quick.
All right. What you got for me?
Okay. We need to get rich quick. I was actually thinking about, it's been a while since I've gotten any money/ideas for getting rich. What if actually.
You're sucking at vamping here.
No, I'm actually coming.
I was prepared.
No, I'm coming up. Well, I'm vamping actually, but I actually am trying to think of like my get rich quick idea, which was we need to create an easier thing. Makeup channels.
What?
So this is a thing on YouTube.
Yeah, I know what they're like celebrities makeup now. Channels who like show you how to do makeup and everything.
Yes. Yeah. We need to do makeup channels for the regular guy. who knows nothing about makeup.
I mean, and that, isn't that what the makeup channels are supposed to be?
Those guys are like professionals. Guys, girls, they're all like pros. They know what the makeup does and stuff. I feel like this would be a better as a comedy channel. Just get a bunch of fancy makeup and stuff.
And like, and just, then like, just draw like, on our faces?
Draw on our faces. I feel like people would pay for that. Of like, okay, show me what I'm supposed to look like. I'll figure out from these devices and things somehow, and I'll make my face that.
So you want to do a comedy sketch about drawing on your face?
Dedicated, though. Not a sketch. Like, every week until we become fucking, like, idols.
You realize there is an operative word in your schemes, and it's get rich quick. I feel like this doesn't fulfill the quick part of it.
I feel like a year, give me a year's time, and, like, no, we wouldn't get, like, a million views, and, like,
I mean, we've been doing this a year. How many views have we gotten on the podcast?
Yeah, this was my original get rich quick idea. It's like, I do this and then I'm on E3.
All right. MCU versus mustard.
Mustard, because it's a victory time, bitch. You, in all of your hubris, tried to create a poll.
No, I didn't create it in hubris. I created it because I actually wanted to know. There's a difference.
As if you didn't believe me?
I didn't believe you.
So he created a poll on his personal Facebook page or, I don't know, personal...
I created a poll on Facebook that for some of my friends in real life to see, like, where people stood on this mustard versus ketchup on hot dogs idea.
It was a massacre.
I
was saying 2-1. Now I believe it's 3-1. Maybe even 4-1.
No, you're getting out of...
You
voted for yourself, too. You can't pull that on me.
But like,
I think it was like 9-3 or something like
it was,
that.
I had double digits by the end. I think it was 10-2.
I think you're arguing a little too hard for yourself.
It's regardless. You got destroyed. Ketchup was described as like for babies, for children.
One person said that.
That's like 10% in your poll.
I'm just really surprised. Like, I actually started looking into this on the internet, and they're like, people are damn serious about their fucking hot dogs.
Yes.
Like, you're eating, like, pig testicles and shit. Like, you don't know what's in a hot dog. It's not, like, caviar or some sort of, like, highfalutin food. Like, it's a hot dog you get at a fucking baseball game. Why do you care so much about condiments?
Harvey Z knows condiments.
Okay, whatever. Like,
You may know games. Don't step to me on my condiment knowledge. I tried to protect you, son. I told you of the ways of mustard.
All right. Last duel. Super Smash Brothers versus Dungeons & Dragons.
Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay. So I hear you've been doing a D&D game.
I actually joined like a professional group of people who play D&D as opposed to like one-shots and things like that. And like they actually have like dedicated times and stuff. It was, frankly, quite intimidating, and now I'm wondering, is D&D gaming?
It's called tabletop role-playing game, so yes, it is considered gaming.
Could it not be considered improv? Theater of the mind. That's what the DM likes to say, theater of the mind.
I mean, I would say maybe. Improv, it's a lot of role, depending on the group, I think.
That's fair.
Like, we listen to Sneak Attack, which I think we've mentioned on this podcast before, and like the DM does like voices, and the other players also do voices. Well, some of them do, not all of them, but like, and they really get into like the role playing aspect. So I could, it is sort of improv-y. There are other groups who like just are like, I min max and I don't really do the role playing stuff. I just want to do combat all the time. So I think it's a little, it could be. And it leans more towards it in, like, the way I want to play D&D, of course. Like, I like role-playing aspects more than just, like, the statistical numbers and min-maxing a character or things like that.
And that's where I found myself of where I know how to play D&D from, like, online games and stuff like that. But that's a lot of dice rolling. I mean, there was stories and, like, long epic storylines that you've kind of gone into in the past and stuff. But this one was, like, the people I was playing with were doing voices, they had, like, affectations, they had all these epic backstories, and I was like, I'll quietly sit at the tavern, and, like, I don't know how to interact now, because, holy shit, I'm intimidated by this. And then, like, over time, like...
Once you get it, you get into it. Like, we did a one-shot with Overbob, and that was fun. Like, we didn't do a whole lot of RPing.
Yeah.
We got into it a little bit. You had your two... gymnasts that were like throwing each other across.
And a little guy.
Yeah, you had a big guy and a little guy, and were like throwing each other across chasms and all sorts of stuff. And I had a wizard who was just there for, because he thought it was like a big adventure, and it was just like this small time, like nothing.
Didn't he have like a ridiculous name?
Argon Millennium. Yes. I came up with that name the very first time I ever played D&D when I was like 11. And so it's just kind of been like a staple. Argon Millennium the Elf is, it's a name that's always stuck with me. I made it up as a kid, and yeah, I just use it in D&D every now and then.
Different characters, though.
Yeah, different characters. It's always different, but yeah.
They're always named Argon Millennium.
When it's an elf, like he has to be an elf.
Okay.
And that's the only requirement. Elf named Argon Millennium. Most of the time when I'm like doing like disposable like one shot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there we go. Topic Thunderdome. How do you think of it? Like, what'd you think?
If I would like to know the categories ahead of time, but part of me is like, yeah, just don't tell me, but I really need you need to have some stuff ahead of time.
Yeah.
Because, ooh, that's...
Like, I had ideas for most of these when I came up with them. Like, I didn't want to, like, leave us completely hanging. Yeah. But, like, something like Harvey Z's Get Rich Quick scheme, like, that was all on you.
That's true, but if you're going to put that one in there, let me know. Give me time to prepare a get-rich-quick.
But the thing is, you have an option. If you don't want to do it, you can do the other one.
But it's so tempting.
I just saying.
It says Harvey Z in the name.
I gotta appeal to the ego, right?
Exactly.
And I think Overwatch and Overwatch League are two different things. Like, it's like talking about baseball versus specifically talking about, like, the Baltimore Orioles. Okay. You know, like I feel like there isn't.
I didn't expect there to be two in there of Overwatch.
Like I had like topic about Overwatch, like specifically me playing it, mm-hmm. and then Overwatch League, like the playoffs have started and things like that. So there's stuff to talk about. But you know,
what I would do also is have you be in it too. Like maybe each of us picks like every other one or something.
Okay.
Because otherwise, I do tend to pick the weird choices where it's like mustard. Hell yes, I'm gonna talk about mustard.
I put that in there just because I figured you would want to talk about your victory,
my destruction of your condiment soul.
All right, so the other idea I had, and this one is I'm still working on how it'll work and everything, I'm tentatively calling it the Make Me a Gamer Minute.
Okay so
if you've noticed in front of you, yes. I have put
a cauldron.
He says it's a cauldron, but it's my Eevee hat that I got from
sausage.
The
sausage. We're pros. Flaming cauldron.
Well, I got it from the Nintendo store in New York. It's like it's a gaming thing.
It's a gaming thing.
Yeah, it's a Eevee Pokemon hat. And so what I've done is I've put a bunch of scraps of paper in there, and each one has a game title on it. And I was just, in my head, I was thinking about making Harvey Z a gamer,
Okay.
And like, the thing is, I have a plethora of knowledge about games. I have played very many video games. Like, that probably isn't English, what I just said. But I've played a lot of games. And I can't always get to all of them. And more importantly, I forget. Like, sometimes I'll be just like reading Twitter or something, and something will twinge something in my brain and be like, oh yeah, I remember playing that game. That game was kind of cool. And then by the time I get home, I'll have forgotten about it and moved on, And this was inspired because today I literally saw something. I was like, man, that's a game. I love that game. I really should talk about that sometime. And then 30 minutes later, I could not fucking remember what that game was. Like, I look back, I was like, did I see it on Twitter? Did it just randomly come to me? Like, what's going on here? And so I was like, all right, you know what? This is going to be a good segment because what I can do is I can throw these pieces of paper in the cap. Harvey Z will pick one out and I'll have like a minute to do like the tough sell, explain what the game is. And then if Harvey Z likes it, afterwards, maybe I get to talk about it a little more. And if he doesn't like it, like we just move on, it'd be like a thumbs up, thumbs down sort of thing. And it'll give me... Like, the Harvey Z Snaps is always you, and this, the topic Thunderdome was also kind of you, kind of me, a little bit of both. So this one is something that gives me something a little more to do and kind of riff off. And so, like, I know the games that I put in there, but in, like, when I think of a new game, I can be like, oh, hey, I'm going to put that in there.
And just keep adding to the hat.
And then, but then in like 6 weeks from now, I won't remember exactly what games I put in there because they're just games that came to me in a flash. And then you'll pull one out and be like, talk about this. And I'll be like, oh, I remember that game. Okay, here's the hard sell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like it. Shall I?
Sure. So go ahead. I think there are seven in there, I think, to give us an option. I have
chosen one.
Okay.
From the Eevee hat. Flaming Eevee.
The what Make Me this? A Gamer cauldron.
Outland.
Oh, Outland. Oh, this is such a good game.
I don't think I've heard of it even.
Okay, so Outland, I played it on the Xbox 360. It was a downloadable game. I don't think it was ever a physical game. Might be on PC too. It's a Metroidvania / bullet hell. It was very cool because you could you had to switch between colors. There was blue and red, and like bosses would like throw bullet hell type, kind of like Enter the Gungeon sort of mm-hmm. things, like balls and like colors at you. And if you were red, you could pass through red, and if you were blue, you could pass through blue, or vice versa, or whatever. And so you had to be and you had like different abilities based on what color you had.
Okay.
And it was just this very complex yet fun sort of mechanics that expanded on typical Metroidvanias at the time. This was back in like 2000, I want to say 8 or 9, maybe 2010. I don't know. But at least around a decade ago at this point. And it was refreshing because at the time Metroidvanias hadn't taken off the way they have now, and there weren't as many Metroidvania options, and just something like that that was unique and brought this sort of bullet hell type thing to it as well really stood out to me.
What was the, can I ask questions about the game?
Sure.
I'm curious in the,
I mean, that's kind of the point. Like, that's the hard sell. And if you don't like it, if it like none of that appealed to you, then no more questions. But if you want to be made a gamer,
Is it a side-scrolling game?
Yes, it's a side-scrolly platformer type game.
And none of it described the story.
I don't remember a lot of the story, though. That's the thing. Is like I played it mm-hmm. a long time ago. And it was like you were like freeing a world from darkness or something. You know, the typical kind mm-hmm. of... It wasn't very story-heavy. It was much more mechanic-based.
And you really like this game.
I really liked it at the time. Like, it's again, it's a game that for some reason it popped into my head and I was mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, I remember that game. That game was awesome when I played it. But I also don't think about it regularly. You know, it's one of those games where, like, if you make me put together like a top 10 or top 20 game list, it's not going to be a game that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. But if somebody mentions it or I see it on a list somewhere, I'm like, yeah, I played that. Yeah, that game fucking rocked. Man, I should go back and play that again.
Because it's a very non-Harvey Z game.
Mm-hmm.
And so, one, I can't picture, like, are you a man? Are you a guy in a ship? There's no story to
You're a guy with a sword.
Oh.
You're like, it's, and, like, the graphics are really cool because how I remember it, like, you're, like, all black. You're kind of, like, shadowy.
Uh-huh.
Like a shadow. And, like, all the enemies and everything are shadows and well. And all the big colors are, like, in the background and, like, you're blue and red. So, like, it's graphically interesting. Like, mm-hmm. it's kind of everything silhouetted, if I remember correctly. I could be completely misremembering that. In fact, now that we've gotten down that path, and like, I'm going to just look up. There is apparently a 1981 movie called Outland, so I've got to be more specific.
And I thought there was a recent game coming out called Outland.
It's
like a pop, people are seem really excited about it. You've mentioned like a space type game or you're exploring worlds.
That's Outer Worlds.
That's what it
is. And there's also Outer Wilds, which is different. So I can't really, you know, I'm going to look it up on my phone and show you so you can kind of get an idea.
Because the biggest lack of appeal as well, it's a bullet hell game. As soon as you said bullet hell, I was like, oh, because I know those games appeal to you. They're a skill set that I just don't get.
Yeah, it's... I don't know if it's a game you would like mm-hmm. off the top of my head, but at the same time, like... Here, let me...
Okay, aesthetically, it has a lot more color than I was expecting. Oh, okay. Can I just push start and... Oh, it's just a... Oh, these are just cutscenes, not videos. Okay, so the graphics are... So I was thinking, like, pixelated type of games, but this is a pretty good graphics, like... pretty good modern for like 2010 or so.
Yeah, and see how most everything is kind of like the blue and reds are the big
like a jungle colors. Background.
Yeah.
like red lava like
it really go colors. It really and it's red, like almost red orange, so like it does the whole like, you know, what do they call those colors when it's like orange and blue?
Oh, the
contrasting or whatever,
composite, or which, composite the might be opposite the right. On the color wheel.
Yeah So it does like the kind of orangish red and blue, so they the go clash. Well together, but yeah,
that's okay. Interesting game. Not my cup of tea, but I'm glad to have learned about it.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm curious what else will be in the hat.
Well, we'll find out next week. And I will probably have forgotten everything I put in the hat by that point.
That's when it becomes fun.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so those are all the planned things I came up with for our 100th anniversary between...
42nd.
Our 42nd episode. We do have some regular news, I guess, we can talk about. There was a Nintendo Direct this past yesterday, and a lot of things were announced, and kind of people went crazy for it.
So when this happens, always Twitter is aflame with stuff, and I have a weird set of Twitter, so I don't know what's real and what's not. I think some Smash characters were introduced.
Yes. Banjo and Kazooie came out for Smash Brothers. Okay. They'd already been announced. So they were just shadow dropped, like you're able to get them starting, I think, last night or early this morning or some point. So they just announced them and gave like a short gameplay demo and showed mm-hmm. what they can do. They also announced the next character that's going to be out in November, and it's Terry Bogard.
Okay, so that's real.
Yes.
He's a dude from
Fatal
Fury.
Yeah, it's a SNK fighter for the Neo Geo, I believe.
Yeah.
He's been in a bunch. He's like basically the SNK mascot at this point, sort of. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm not super familiar with him or SNK games in general, but a lot of people are excited for it, and a lot of people are like, "What the fuck is he doing here?" So it's a good mix of like an out there character, but at the same time representing something
and important. He's like in a fighting game, so would I expect him to be like a Ryu or Ken type of...
I think so. Something similar to that. I honestly, I don't know what his moves are or anything. Like, I've never played Fatal Fury. Yeah. The other big thing that people went wild over was that there was a Sans costume, the skeleton from Undertale.
So what is Undertale?
So Undertale is an RPG that came out, like, I think 2015, I want to say, for the PC. And got a really big following because it's a very good game. It's an RPG where you don't have to kill anyone if you don't want to. It's very interesting. The combat is all bullet hell dynamics. Mm-hmm. So it's not like typical. Like, you choose something from menu to do for your attack, but then like when the enemy attacks you, you kind of have to dodge things in like a little bullet hell type thing. The characters are great. The music is fantastic. It's one of my favorite soundtracks of all time from a video game. Like, it's just that good. Mm-hmm. Toby Fox was the one that created it. He did the music. He did the writing. He did a lot of it. Like, the art was done by another person. And like, so it was very small. Like, two or three people built this game. And it was very, very good. Very well received. Has a huge fan base now. And so the fact that it got into Smash Brothers was a super surprise. And yeah, so the entire fan base just freaked out. Even though it's just a costume, people were super excited to like see that representation in Smash.
When you say just a costume, do you mean?
Sans is a costume for the Miis. Oh. So you can like download it, and it's like a special costume. You can put on a Mii gunner.
So he doesn't have like a moveset or anything?
He doesn't have his own moveset. He has the Mii gunner moveset, but you can have him as a costume.
Okay.
Was there something else you wanted to mention?
Because that was the ones where I saw like this skeleton chibi guy and I was like, is this a real thing? And like, so I didn't like watch an intro video or anything for it. It was just like gamers reacting and like people going nuts over this guy.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, to like an excessive level. And I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah, Undertale is pretty big.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else did I know. Like,
you were complaining games. About Overwatch.
Yes. So I also found out. So Switch games came out, or Switch Lite games.
I mean, that's what a Nintendo Direct is. They talk about games coming out for the Switch.
Like, I was like, oh, this seems like...
Because isn't really anything... They don't have any other consoles anymore. Like, they gave up on having, like, a separate home and handheld. Mm-hmm. Like, Switch is supposed to be one and all. So, yeah.
Yeah, so the big news was Overwatch is coming to the Switch. And yes, I'm pissed because I own Overwatch for the PC, but I don't have a PC. Mm-hmm. I have a Mac now. If I guess I fucking pay...
You have to pay $40. Like, it's
yeah, just yeah. like every other thing to Blizzard. Once again, take my money. And then I get to play all of Overwatch. Like,
yep, all the content is supposed to be there. So,
but
So...
Yeah.
I don't know about this.
Oh.
Like, I'm glad Overwatch is coming to Switch because more people can play it.
Did you expect this to happen?
It was leaked, so I wasn't as surprised. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago, Amazon accidentally listed an Overwatch Switch case, like, to hold the Switch in. So, and people were like, that must mean Overwatch is coming to Switch. So, I don't know. I'm skeptical of... it being able to run online. Overwatch is a multiplayer game, mm-hmm. and Nintendo's online system is decent. I don't know how well it'll be because most Switches are gonna be handheld. Mm-hmm. I guess some could be plugged in to like wired connections, but there's probably might be like a lot of lag, or I don't know how it'll actually end up working out.
Is there going to be like crosstalk of where if I have a Switch,
no.
I can't play a PC guy?
Yeah, and I feel like that's also kind of like smart. I don't maybe Switch to like PS4 or something would be okay, like just the same console. But I feel like mouse aiming versus mm-hmm. controller aiming is just too much of a disparity.
Oh yeah, that's going to be really different. I guess I should say I was going to say like really shitty, but maybe it is okay. But like. Yeah, like to snipe and stuff, to do it with a little joystick.
Yeah, it will be a change.
Okay.
Yeah, you should just get a PC and then we can play it again.
I can't keep buying fucking consoles, buddy.
A PC isn't a console. PC does other things. So maybe not now, but when you get tired of your Mac, maybe you should go back to a PC so you can play your fucking games.
You know how expensive that Mac was? Like, Macs are fucking...
Okay, in another year or so, you'll upgrade.
Ooh. That's how they get you into brand loyalty. You just feel guilted into, I can't use anything else. It's so
that's
fucking expensive.
I switched for, when I had to upgrade my phone, I switched off of iPhone. I'm done with. It was weird for me because I just kind of fell into iPhone because it was the easiest smartphone to like choose. Yeah. Like, and I've never really had any other Apple products. Like, I've always been not Macs, not, you know, MacBooks. I don't care about Apple Watches. And so I slowly came to terms with the fact that I don't want an iPhone, especially when they got rid of the headphone jack. So I switched to Android, and now I am Apple free.
So, like, I had what was it called? Not an iPad, but a...
I do have my iPad still, I guess.
iPod.
iPod, yeah.
That's what I had, and that's how I got hooked into Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, it's just a single thing, and then the iPhone. But here's how they get you. As soon as you get, like, a MacBook... Now they talk to each other and it becomes convenient in the room and stuff. And you're like, oh, this is good. And then it's like, I guess I need more Mac products so that they can continue to like communicate with each other.
And then eventually they'll know everything about you and take over your mind and you'll become an Apple drone.
And it happens because then I'm like, oh, it's now so convenient because now if I quit, like if I take away my phone, that's like 4 or 5 different products that it already connects to. And, like, the Google guy is going to have to show up then and be like, hey, and they don't, like, every part of my life is a Mac now. And I can't just switch everything. That's how they got me.
Yeah.
You got lucky. You got out while you could.
Yeah. I never bought into the Mac computer. I've always used a PC, so. So I just want to double check something here, see if there was anything else from the Direct I wanted to talk about. I don't think there was... There was one game announcement that really... they announced Deadly Premonition 2.
Yeah. Didn't know what that was.
That's a game in the hat, though. Or Deadly Premonition is a game in the hat.
Okay.
So we'll get to that. That's a teaser for a future episode. It'll come eventually. Oh, and they announced finally that you're going to get to play Super Nintendo games with your Switch Online subscription, which is... I mean, it took them 2.5 years to put it on there. And most of the games I wanted to play...
You got on your Mini?
Oh, yeah. They're on my SNES Classic. So, I did reach out to our number one fan over Bob.
Oh.
Yesterday as well, in preparation for our 1 month or one month. 1 year anniversary.
Through this episode, you've given like so many different dates of what we've done.
It's 1 year. Like this episode is coming out the week of our 1 year first episode coming out. Like we started recording, our very first recording was in August of 2018, but the first episode we released when it like went live on iTunes or whatever, Google Podcasts. That was September 9th, I believe, is when I pushed them. Like, I uploaded them on September 9th, 2018. And then I think they got approved and actually went live on September 11th, which was slightly bad timing. Yeah, but I'd go with the September 9th as the anniversary because that was when, like, I had the logo done. I put, like, the title and everything
together. So we're 9-9-18.
9-9-18.
I like that a lot better than 9-11.
Yeah. 9-9-18. That is our official, you know.
And that's episode one, not even the secret episode zero.
Yeah, that episode one. Yeah. But anyway, so I reached out to Overbob. And he didn't really have like any specific questions or anything, but he did suggest like, what are our favorite co-op games of all time? And like how we feel about in-person co-op versus online co-op. And maybe any stories we might have when we've played games together, like specifically.
So off the top, I mean, I feel like this question has to exclude the one game we always talk about.
Toe Jam and Earl?
Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah, like we know Toe Jam and Earl
It's defined our lives.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not so much as mine as yours, but like Toe Jam and Earl is one of our games at this point.
So then I was going to say the next probably big one, two co-op games, the Twisted Metal series for me. The co-op on Twisted Metal, specifically Twisted Metal 2, probably my most played game, just playing it with my family, playing it with cousins, playing it with friends. Like, I can play that game, like, eyes closed at this point. And I can take any rookie through the game, and, like, we can beat the whole game because it's like, oh, just stay here. This is a secret area. The computer can't get to you, or the AI is fucked up here, and I can just kill everything, and you can be fine. If you just sit in this corner and fire machine guns out, you'll constantly damage them, and you'll be protected. It's like that level.
Yeah.
Like, have you played? You played Twisted Metal 2.
I've played Twisted Metal 2. I don't know if I played like 3 or 4, but I did play the Grim Dark Twisted Metal reboot and Twisted Metal Black and those for like PS2 and PS3. I don't think I ever played 4. I might have played the original 2, but yeah.
Okay. And then the other one is Streets of Rage 2.
Ah, yes. That's a good one.
I like 3, I like all the... But Streets of Rage 2 is a type or a genre that I really enjoy playing as a beat-em-up? Co-op. The beat-em-up co-op kind of thing. And
so
that,
Streets of Rage 4 is coming out at some point. I told you about that, right?
Yeah, I remember you mentioning it, and then I'd kind of forgotten about it because it hadn't come out
yet. There's also a game that just came out today that's actually on the Switch. I have to see if there's online co-op or not, but we might be able to play it together. It's called River City Girls, and it's just like a Switch on like the... typical thing where you're like your women going to save your boyfriends in distress. Like your boyfriends get kidnapped and you're just like these women who
are
go
you
around.
A bad enough girl.
Exactly.
I would actually really like that game.
Yeah, and it's like a beat 'em up old school, like you like Streets of Rage and Double Dragon, those sort of things.
Like multiple characters, maybe they have some unique ones.
Final
faster
fight.
Okay, because I heard about that title and I was like, this is probably porn, and moved on.
No, somehow a lot of people I follow on Twitter ended up being voices for these characters. They're not even like one is a voice actor, so it's not a surprise he's in it. But like there was like one person I follow, I don't even remember like what made me follow her in the first place, but like she's like. Some sort of like social media person, but she's just a voice of one of the characters, and it's kind of cool. Like I've just been seeing a lot of advertisements for it because just it somehow happened that people I follow on Twitter are in the game. But yeah, it looks neat. It looks like a pretty cool beat 'em up, and you mentioned that, so I figured I'd throw that out there as another Switch thing.
Like this is now way more like I know you mentioned the Outland, but now I'm like I want to follow this game of like let me know if it's good. Let me know if it's co-op.
I'll check the... I know it's co-op. I don't know if it's online or, like, mm-hmm. local. So as for me, local co-op, God, I guess, like, the old school beat-em-ups were, like, a thing I did as a kid. A lot of the local co-op I did was, like, not intentional local co-op. So, and Overbob will appreciate this, actually. I used to play Perfect Dark. That was, like, a local multiplayer game that... Yeah. Like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark for the N64. And Perfect Dark, we would create co-op in it. Mm-hmm. Were you involved with this at any point?
Not with you, but I also had a neighborhood kid who had Perfect Dark, and we played it to like ridiculous extents.
Yeah. Like, so in Perfect Dark was really cool because you could customize the AI a lot. Like, yep. You had a lot of options. And in terms of, like, what you could do in the levels and what guns there were and, like, what the AI could do. And so we came up with this game, Assassinate the President or something similar to that, where it was three of us or four of us versus two AI. And there would be the president, who was this... I think the lowest level was like meat.
Uh-huh.
I think was the dumbest AI level. So the president was meat. Like, it was just an idiotic AI that would never kill us.
Yeah.
But then there was one Secret Service agent who was the highest level of AI.
Yeah.
And so our job was to try and kill the president. And so we were trying to work together and we would just be screaming like, oh God, he found us, you know? And like the Secret Service would just be going around mowing us down because mm-hmm. they were so good. And every time we occasionally got an actual kill on the Secret Service agent, we were like cheering and high-fiving and stuff like that. But yeah, I remember that as a good like local co-op experience that I loved, even though it wasn't a co-op game, so to speak.
Because if I remember, you could play like teams, or so that's where I think my friend and I would play as a team,
right? Yeah.
And we would play against various types of enemies, and we would dress them up in different colors and stuff. Right. So you could see from a distance, like, oh shit, this is going to be like a boss coming towards you. Versus, yes, there's a meat guy or something like that.
Right.
And we would just figure out like different ways to kill, because they had unique weapons. It was interesting.
Yeah, like the laptop gun. I remember that from Perfect Dark.
Oh, yeah. It was. Like, I like that actually more than GoldenEye. I know GoldenEye was, like, the... Not co-op.
I liked Perfect Dark, I think, more than GoldenEye, too. Yeah. In terms of, like, the variety of things you could have. Although GoldenEye was, like, the classic one.
Could you also play the levels co-op? I can't remember.
I don't think so. I think it was only single-player campaign, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Because Perfect Dark was a classic, like... That was also an essential, like, playing with a neighbor. Because...
Mm-hmm.
That would be the game rather than
GoldenEye. One game, another local co-op game that comes to mind is Battletoads. That's in the kind of the beat-em-up territory. But I remember that as a co-op game a lot because I think, again, Overbob had it.
It's one of the hardest games.
Yeah, I don't think I ever owned Battletoads. So I always thought of it as a game that my friends owned.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was always excited to go to their place and play it with them as like a local co-op thing.
Did you ever beat it?
I don't think I ever beat it. I've gotten past Turbo Tunnel. It's not as hard as everyone makes it out to be.
The jumping in the ball pit.
The ones
Yeah, you would just have to memorize the layout.
Yeah. I mean, Turbo Tunnel isn't that bad. The ones that always get me are Rat Race and then the Klinger Winger. Because
mm-hmm.
Rat Race is just difficult. And then Klinger Winger, you have to be like basically perfect to make it to the end. And if you mess up or slow down at all, the thing catches up to you and kills you.
And then a more recent in the beat 'em up kind of categories. Because so like my original beat 'em ups used to be Golden Axe.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Axe like 1, 2, and 3, because we would rent systems. Like when we would rent a Sega or rent an SNES. So that's where I got like Battletoads and stuff from, like if they were on the SNES or such. We didn't rent Nintendos.
Oh yeah, another one just real quick. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles beat 'em up series. Yes. I love those. Those are good.
And we've talked about that in the past.
Yeah.
So PlayStation, I would get like the Streets of Rage type games where it's just like you're a dude, and it's like you can pick.
I'm a dude.
Yeah.
You're a dude.
We can pick like two, three different characters, and you just fight through, and people drop weapons, you eat food, and you continue to just smash them up kind of thing. But like one that I don't know if I probably have recommended it to you. Warriors?
Oh, yeah. Like the PS2 game?
The PS2, The Warriors, based on the movie.
It was like a prequel or something, right? It wasn't even the movie story.
It's a weird game, and I could almost talk about it for a while in the sense that it plays through the entire movie, and it's a prequel, and it feels like, so if you enjoyed the movie, you want to play through this entire game, because you play through, like, it's 20 chapters long, and the last, like, 5 or 6 chapters is the movie, and so everything else is a prequel that sets up how the warriors were created, how they interacted, and in the movie, there's, like, various gangs and stuff like that, because it's a turf war movie from the 70s, but, like, all the various gang members who are in the movie, they actually have, like, full-fledged storylines for them in the game. And so you go, you know that these are the rivals, and oh, this is the big tough gang, and this, and you've been competing for the street. And then once it gets into like chapter like 15 or chapter 14, it goes into the mission of you've got to fight through the movie. Then it was amazing.
Yeah, I know you're a real big fan of the Warriors as a movie too.
Like, as a playstyle game, it's just like a Streets of Rage type of game. Like, it's a beat 'em up. It has some pretty interesting combo. Like, it's not amazing. You'll kind of get used to doing combos. There's some brutal looking hits and stuff like that, but it's fun because you can grab like all sorts of crap in the game. Like, it's a sort of freeform level, GTA style, for lack of a better word, so you can grab like paint cans and bottles and you can smash them over people and stuff like that, Streets of Rage style. But the story in it was amazing.
Like, yeah, I know you've recommended it to me before. Like, if I don't think I ever got around to playing it, but
if I could go home and like find it, I would give it to you.
I don't think there's a way for me to play it. If it's a PS2 game, I can't just pop it into my PS4 and play it.
You don't own a PS2?
I mean, I'd have to. It's in storage somewhere. Yeah. I did want to quickly mention online co-op wise. Two of my favorite online games were the Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2.
Yes.
Those I had a ball playing with friends. Like, I think I went through like 3 different friend groups all at some point or another played Left 4 Dead 2 with me, like, over Bob. And then I had another, like, first played it on 360 with my 360 friends, and then I got it for PC and played it on PC a bunch too. Like, I wish I could still do that, like, if there was a Left 4 Dead 3 or the Left 4 Dead 2 community. Like, I guess it's still going. You can still play Left 4 Dead 2 if you want to. Mm-hmm. I just wish I had a lot of good times with, like, not only online friends, but real life friends, like, mm-hmm. playing through, like, trying to beat the most difficult levels or just playing on easy and having fun. Was carrying the gnome everywhere. Yeah, so there's like a campaign, but like the point of the game co-op wise is, like, once you've beaten the campaign, you can there's 4 or 5 different levels in each Left 4 Dead 2. So like there's like the carnival or the warehouse or whatever. And so like there's like the general scope of the game, and then each level has like acts to it, sort of. Uh-huh. So like, you know, for the first part you're going from this house to that house, and the second part you're going to go navigate through the amusement park, and then the third act you're doing this, and then the fourth act is when you call the helicopter and you've got to defend the horde, mm-hmm. away from the hordes. And it was very fun and easily to replay. Like, it never got old. Uh-huh. Because the zombie spawns were always different. You know, you could get a horde out of nowhere. You didn't know when the tank was going to show up. And, you know, it was fun.
Do you think it's a game that will be like Left 4 Dead 3 or a genre type game?
I mean, it was done by Valve. Valve are the people behind Steam. Oh. And they haven't released like an actual good game or any game, really. They tried to release Artifact, like that came out last year and didn't do very well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. The hopes that we'd see a Left 4 Dead 3 are low.
But so like that genre is basically, you want a multiplayer co-op game for like, it's not like 20 on 20. It's a small size.
Yeah. That co-op is 4 people versus enemies. And it's also segmented. It's not like I've also played Borderlands with my online friends, but that is like a 20 to 30 hour campaign with a story. Mm-hmm. You know, like you commit it and you have to like play from start to finish. Left 4 Dead, the segments, like, you could play one thing in like an hour. Uh-huh. So, like, and with the replayability, like, one night you could get together and play this, and then one night you'd get together and play this other one. Or you'd play a shorter campaign, or, like, and sometimes you'd play the hard one for, like, 4 hours in a row trying to beat it, and you, like, get stuck, and, like, I'm gonna beat this. So, there is a difference, I think, between, like, a lot of co-ops nowadays are kind of focused on, like, a full campaign that mm-hmm. you play together from start to finish. And I'd like the shorter, like, bursts, because whenever I played with friends, it's a lot easier to get together for, like, an hour than set aside, like, 30 hours of your life.
Yeah. As you get older, that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to set that aside. But, yeah, so.
Would a game, so I don't know this game that well, but Destiny is three people? Is that the same? Or
Destiny, no.
There seems to be a multiplayer aspect.
Destiny, again, with the way game design has changed, Destiny is a lot more MMO like where you play through a story quest and then you get to the end game, and then the end game is just like repeating high level raids or like repeating the high level missions. And again, Left 4 Dead 2 isn't about experience, and there's like no story you get through or anything. It's just these individual chapters or whatever you go from start to finish. And game design has kind of steered away from that in terms of the co-op stuff. Like, people want, like, I say people want, I mean, game publishers and developers want money. And so they go for the games as a service aspect where, like, you know, they want people to be playing their game regularly. And so they want, like, that end game content and leveling up and experience. Well, Left 4 Dead, like, they had, like, if I remember correctly, they had special weekly modes that would just, like, cycle for people to play. You know, like, you play and you're losing health the entire time, so you've got to go through quickly. Or you play and there are no regular zombies, it's only tanks. Or, you know, something like that. And, like, they were, like, fun things that put a twist on what you were normally doing. But nowadays the game design is about like open world and sort of these MMO tendencies, like quests and I don't know. There are games out that like kind of have similar feels to Left 4 Dead, but still have much more modern game design associated with them.
Mm.
So I think we're coming close to a close here. Might have a slightly longer episode than usual.
112.
Yeah. Well, I'm not done yet, so we might still have a slightly longer episode. I wanted to do my game of the week, and it's something I've really been excited to talk about since I started playing it. So I started playing Remedy's new game called Control.
I've heard of Control.
I've been praising it on Twitter a lot and retweeting praise for it as well. So you probably have seen me talk about it.
Yeah.
Remedy made Alan Wake, which is one of my favorite games of all time. And Control is very similar in the aspect of it's a spooky, horror-ish game, but not in a jump scare, like, scary horror sort of way, but just sort of, like, subtle weird shit mm-hmm. and kind of strange things happening. And I was into it, like, 5 minutes in. Because when you basically you play this character and she breaks into this office for the FBC, which is the Federal Bureau of Control. And essentially what this turns out to be is it's kind of like SCP. The FBC is Secure, Contain, Protect. Uh-huh. Like they have like what they call objects of power, which are these things that just do weird shit. And the FBC office is built around this thing called the Oldest House, which is like this place that no one knows what the fuck is going on. And like the rooms will change. Like there's all sorts of weird shit. Like there are like control points that you can like cleanse or whatever using your special powers to like stabilize things. But like things will just change in this house. Like there's this expert. Excerpt that you can find, like there's files and stuff laying around that explain, and like one of the things you find is this guy complaining that the executive bathroom has disappeared And it's like this memo where the guy's like, Jesus Christ, I worked my ass off to become an executive, and now the bathroom's fucking gone. Can you fucking find it? Because I want to have my own bathroom. This is this is shitty. I'm an executive. I deserve a bathroom. And it's just this stupid shit because, like, oh God, the toilet's disappeared, you know? And then there's, like, really more disturbing stuff. Like, you find an audio recording of this woman who is talking to the furnace. And apparently the furnace is alive and wants it to feed them humans, you know? Whoa. And like, so it's weird shit's going on. Like, one time I got out of an elevator, turned around, and the elevator was gone. You know, it's...
Is it random or is it like...
I mean, it's a story-based game. Okay. So, like, it's not like... I don't think it's random in the sense of it's, like, procedurally generated mm-hmm. and, like, who knows what can happen. But it's just that kind of surreal, weird shit going on. It's kind of like the secure, contain, protect, like, stories where some of them are funny and some of them are really weird.
Yeah.
And so I'm really enjoying it a lot. Like, I've only played it a couple hours so far, but the story is interesting. There's like a nice mystery to it and what the hell's going on. How you got in there in the first place, because it was supposed to be on lockdown. Like, shit's going down, and then... So when shit goes down, like, the building goes on lockdown to make sure nothing escapes, but yet somehow you got in. The character you're playing as is Jessie, and she's looking for her brother. And that's, like, the basic main kind of plot. But mm-hmm. she's keeping secrets from you. Like,
from the player?
Yeah, like, because she's, like, there's this presence in her head, and... It's unclear as to whether the presence is its own character or if the presence is you.
Uh-huh.
Like, so, and she's, like, talking to this presence and, like, narrating and kind of explaining what's going on, but hasn't explained everything to you. Like, it's interesting and the right kind of creepy surrealist that I like, as opposed to, like, straight up horror.
Yeah.
You know, like a scary game that, like, tries to jump scare you or whatever. It's very good. It's totally my shit, and I am digging it so far. So I highly recommend it. You have to look behind you. So,
like, as soon as you describe, like, you turn around and the elevator's gone, I would freak the fuck out. I'd have to spin around, like, anything where I cannot control my environment and things are changing.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome to watch somebody play it,
mm-hmm.
but that sounds like horror to me. Something happens behind me and I missed it.
Yeah. Another person described it, like, I was listening to a podcast of someone else, the Waypoint podcast, and another person described it like, it's so surreal that sometimes you'll return to areas and you'll swear there was something there, but now you're not sure. Because, like, some things change just enough. Or, like, you'll go back and there'll be a new item there that you swore wasn't there before because you cleared this room. But you aren't sure if it's just because you missed it or if it's because it's now there. And so it just has enough of that kind of weird feeling. Is it
a first person? Like,
it's a third person game. So it's not like first person you have to turn around and suddenly shit's there. But it is still.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds creepy as hell.
Yeah. I like it because we also talked about how an SCP game could be real cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so this seems, it's right up that alley. Like, they didn't call it that, but it's close enough with the terms and everything that I'm, yeah. Cool. All right. So that's my game. That is our 1 year. Thank you for listening to us for a year, for all you people who have. If you're just new getting into it, thank you for listening for the first time or the third time or whenever it is you come across this podcast. Yeah, looking to the future, I'm hoping to promote it more. And, like, we've been doing this for a year. We've proved we can commit to it. So we'll see what happens. Maybe get that Discord started that I keep talking about and some other promotions.
I bring in some more games I can talk about besides XCOM and Civilization. Yeah,
we've got a... Got a whole new second year ahead of us, and hopefully we'll keep entertaining you and we'll be able to do the 2 year anniversary next year.
And we'll see what the future holds then. Yeah. Time travel. We got to do it at some point.
No, we're not doing time travel.
Ant-Man, up the butt.
I hate you. Where can they find you, RVC?
At the Z is silent. T-H-A, Z is silent.
I think by now they would know. You don't have to explain it.
It was a throwback.
Yeah, sure. You can find me at Team Man Plays Games on Twitter. You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. You can always email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com and always find my writings at teamandwrites.com. Thank you for listening. And Harvey Z, take us out.
Thank you, actually. Yeah just, I mean, I know thank you. You said it, but thank you guys for sticking around or for joining us on this weird, sad get-rich-quick scheme that didn't turn out to be a get-rich-quick scheme. But just,
yeah, we're not making money.
It's fun.
We're not even selling MeUndies.
One day.
It's the dream.
Year two. This is the MeUndies year. Number two.
Oh, Jesus Christ.